fucking up.
It's fucking up, my friend.
Dude, we are. We are. I still can't fucking find it. So, be sure to share this video for anybody. Oh, here we go. Oh,
I see it.
A new shirt. Fuck. Oh God, we are. All right, dude. What are you doing?
I'm sharing the Average Joe Movie Show on social media, like you directed me to do.
That's okay, buddy. I appreciate you, motherfucker. I appreciate you. Hey, welcome everybody. It's the Average Joe Movie Show. I'm Matt Wallace. This is Andrew Brown. Say hello.
Hello.
Shane Scantling on the webcam over there. I don't
How's
know if he switched
How's
it.
How's it going? Switched.
Woo! We are new and improved for week two. The studio, it's only one camera this time, so you'll just get to see it. Well, okay, two cameras. Sorry. You'll get to see Shane eventually. Yeah.
If you're lucky.
But on this week's show, on the Average Joe Movie Show, we are talking strictly Robert Pattinson and the Batman. We're going to be talking spoilers later. So if you're tuning in and you're like 20 minutes in, we'll probably put a disclaimer and be like, hey, we're going to talk spoilers. But for the first thing, we're going to talk about everything we liked about Batman, everything we possibly didn't like, what our favorite Batman is compared to the rest of them. So I'm ready to go. You ready to go?
Yes, sir.
All right. And we'll get it done right now. So... The Batman, directed by Matt Reeves. Have you ever seen any of Matt Reeves' movies?
Yeah, the Planet of the Apes movies.
Didn't I make you watch that?
Yeah, you did. And
we went nonstop.
I don't know why I have my doubts. You know, I'm a huge. I don't advocate movies that are superfluous CGI, all full of CGI. You know, whatever. So I just had my my expectations, and I fucking love those movies, dude. They're so good.
He's like the big budget man.
Those
right?
are just like, well, those movies are kind of a hybrid, though. Like, they have real right. ape
yeah,
tracking
yeah.
and all that. With
yeah, it was just so much better than what I expected. I was so glad he made me watch them. I forget how you like, oh, you tricked me into it.
yeah, I did.
I came over here one day, and you're just like, hey, man, just come over, and like, maybe we'll watch a movie. Or maybe it was something even simpler than that. Next thing I know, we're sitting here for like fucking... Eight hours.
I think it's like 8-9 hours
like
to watch them all.
Three Planet of the Apes movies.
And they're so good. Andy Serkis playing a Caesar, so good. Yeah. But he takes on the helm after Ben Affleck decided, I don't want to be Batman anymore. I don't want to direct a solo movie. And
it's a great thing for the fans and a great thing for Ben Affleck.
Yeah, I liked Ben Affleck as Batman. We'll get to that later on. But Matt Reeves co-writes it, directs it. Produces it as well, and I gotta say, man, it's definitely up there. It's been one of my favorites. It has the Riddler, so it just for those who haven't seen it, the Batman is now 2 years into his gig, and now has to kind of figure out where he kind of stands on what he's trying to do with the city of Gotham and how his relationship with the cops and trying to at least. Clean the city up and see how he does that as being Batman and juggling the Bruce Wayne role as well. There's all of a sudden all these high-profile killings of political figures, and they're all directed to the Batman by who calls himself the Riddler, played by Dan. What was his name? Oh God, Paul Dano.
Yeah.
Paul Dano. Sorry. And he's menacing. He's actually killing people. He's got several. He's always 3-4 steps ahead of the game. And Batman and Commissioner Gordon are just on the run with, you see the likes of Catwoman, played by Zoe Kravitz. You also have Colin Farrell, played the Penguin. You have John Turturro, who plays Falcone.
Yeah.
Or Falcone. Yeah. And it's just, where to start, man?
It's a lot of movie to unpack, man. There's so many. There's
That's
so
why
much
we
good.
Did a whole show on it. That's why we're here, baby.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what were your initial thoughts of the movie? So you saw it yesterday, right?
Yeah.
What time did you see it yesterday?
I went to the midnight showing last night because
how long
being
movie?
Bike week here in Daytona Beach, I didn't have much time off from my job. So I was like, hey, let's go to the midnight showing and see a 3-hour movie right now. But it was fitting. What I was saying was that it was fitting because it's the Gotham in this movie. It's so gothic. It's so dark. You know, it's like it's not the kind of movie you want to go to a matinee and see, yeah.
Was the theater packed?
What's that?
Was it packed in there?
It was about half full, something like that. You know, most people aren't crazy enough to see a 3-hour movie at midnight.
Yeah,
that was just my option that I had.
Yeah, we saw it. Did you see it in like RPX or did you see it normal?
No, we just saw it in standard. I'll admit, I wish I went to IMAX.
Or something a little louder.
Yeah, I would consider going again for a second viewing, which already is a spoiler alert on how I feel about the movie. I would consider...
It sucks, dude. I'm going to go over there and just
it
shit on
so
it.
Bad.
All.
I have to go see it again in IMAX and spend $24 for a ticket.
I'm going to shit on this movie so fucking hard, and I'm going to pay for it.
I want to get the best viewing experience I can, so I'd like to see it in another format.
I'm not going to lie. I'm usually an IMAX like fucking fanboy.
Yeah.
But seeing it in Dolby was awesome. It was so good. The darks were so dark. The you know, all the reds, all the colors that, you know, it has the Dolby Vision and the, you know, and the Dolby Atmos. It was nice. It was like, I went and saw Godzilla like 3 times in IMAX, and I saw it once in Dolby, and I loved IMAX way better. I saw Dune in IMAX, and yeah. I thought there's no other way to see this in IMAX. But with Batman, I wanted to see everything.
I'll put it in perspective for you. I saw it in standard, and there were times... You should never have to think this when you go out and see a movie at a cinema. There were times where I thought, it could be a little louder.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Especially with the car.
Right, yeah. I was thinking it could have been a little louder.
It was loud.
So,
one louder.
I kind of...
One louder.
I regret not having you guys' experience.
It was loud. Yeah. Mm.
But what were your initial thoughts? I'll let you like kind of
like, before
like,
seeing it.
Like, yeah, what were your expectations and were they met?
So expectations. It was kind of a slow build. The first thing I ever heard was Robert Pattinson was going to be Batman.
Were you excited?
No, had my doubts.
Fuck that.
Not because I'm a Twilight hater. I like those movies. now I've announced that publicly. So. That sucks.
You and my mom have something in common.
But no, I mean, that set aside, he's really, we've talked about it quite a few times. And on the last show, we talked about it that, you know, he's really proven himself as an actor in recent years. And he's super dynamic, man. And like, I truly get excited when one of his films is going to come out. But I heard about him playing an iconic role like Batman, and I didn't think it made sense. Initially, mm-hmm. And that was just my first initial expectations. Up until next thing I know, the first trailer drops, and I'm blown away by it, you know. Second trailer drops. I don't think you ever ended up watching the second trailer.
No,
because you're like not a trailer enthusiast, you know.
We'll talk about that next week.
yeah. But the second trailer drops. It solidified it, and I just because I could tell that it was setting the tone for what kind of movie it was. It was so different than the Dark Knight trilogy. It wasn't just an action-packed, Hollywood, big-budget type of movie. It had this real noir sort of aspect to it. And anyway,
you love those movies.
So yeah, I love that kind of stuff, you know. That's just the kind of person that I am. So anyway, leading into it, did it live up to expectations? I would say yes, and maybe more so.
Like a lot or just like a...
I wouldn't say a lot, but I would say it exceeded expectations for me.
I just want to get it in perspective. Were you just as excited for this Batman as you were for The Dark Knight?
No way, dude. I did see The Dark Knight in IMAX. That was just the hype.
Wasn't that your first one?
Yeah, first movie ever in IMAX. Sold out, Friday night show in Orlando, and that was the hype of the cinema world. Probably the biggest hype of any movie ever in that in that time period, you know. Yeah.
Avatar came out a year later, but that wasn't hype. That was just good movie.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible to like find the equivalent to that cinematic magic because of the buildup and the fact that I saw it in IMAX and all the hype
fulfilled.
Heath Ledger playing the Joker and all that, you know. And him passing away, unfortunately, rest in peace. You know, there was the universe all just collaborated to make it, like, in some weird way to make that movie just so magical, you know. So did this live up to that? No. But I think that it's, you know, the best thing to mention is that it's in the same conversation, you know.
Yeah,
at
the
least,
fact that we're talking about it.
I mean, I'm going to say straight up, I think it's neck and neck with The Dark Knight for me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like, I think The Dark Knight's one of the greatest movies in recent years, you know, because I love Christopher Nolan. I think he's the greatest filmmaker in the world right now, still making films. And I think that this is right there, neck and neck for me. You know, it's a totally different animal, though. You know, it mm-hmm. just gives us a fresh perspective, something else different to watch.
You remember what I said after we got out of the movie about my ranking of the Batman?
You said it was like 1A, 1B kind of thing. Yeah. Okay. Is it still kind of that?
I have to see it again, but yeah.
I'm going to give my rankings in a minute, you know, but I'm definitely, you know, the fact that it's in the conversation, because it is. What I did, I watched the movie. We went in Dolby and saw it. I immediately went home and put in The Dark Knight, and I was just like, you know, trying to immediately compare these movies, and honestly, it's sort of impossible because they're two completely different movies.
They are.
They're like the only thing relating themselves is that Batman is in it.
Yeah,
that the characters are all the same.
I think
everything else is just different.
I'm trying not to be hasty and mm-hmm. say I like it more
mm-hmm.
because I'm the type of person that likes a neo noir, a film noir crime drama, you know, with that sort of gothic old Gotham atmosphere that it has. You know, they kept it dark. Mm-hmm. It still looked like old New York. Like, I like the old nasty New York Gotham over the modern day Chicago Gotham,
yeah.
you know, that Christopher Nolan developed.
Yeah, it was.
So it was, and then the atmosphere and the score and the fact that there was Nirvana in the soundtrack and just everything about it was so just drab and so somber and mm-hmm. like, I love that atmosphere more than I like the atmosphere in The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
So that's why it's hard for me to make the comparison, even yeah. though The Dark Knight is the superior film.
I agree. I think it's, when it comes to the vibe, I think this one like far exceeds The Dark Knight, but I think that's kind of where it stands on its own two legs
a
little
vibe.
Bit. But The Dark Knight definitely felt more expensive, and it felt more, from a direction perspective, I think it was a little
okay.
bit better, but.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I totally – that's awesome. And I felt the same way. I immediately left that movie. I wasn't like – you know, when I left The Dark Knight, when I watched that movie, I was blown away. I was like
yeah.
– I wasn't blown away by this movie. I loved it. And I think it is definitely in – it was just a – The Dark Knight was grand scale. It's an epic.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's an epic rather than – I think about – think about Dune, right? You know, Dune's an epic, and it is
yeah.
half completed. So did it really fulfill everything that it needed in one movie? No. There's already two shows being directly affiliated with this, plus two direct movies. So I felt, and this goes into what I kind of didn't really care for, I felt like it was an incomplete kind of ending. I was just like, okay, this happens, so what happens now? Kind of thing.
I kind of disagree, but I get what you're saying.
Like it didn't the climax of the movie was soft.
Yeah,
that's what I, you know, the character arc of what happens to Batman in that makes sense, and I get that, and it's needed to make it to that next movie so he can get that next arc to where, you know, cuz he's you know, the way we saw Batman in The Dark Knight, like, he was clean, he never got his ass beat, he was always ahead of the game or,
yeah.
in some ways, like, he, not to say he had a trick up his sleeve, well, I mean, in The Dark Knight, like, the Joker had his scheme, and also the police also had their scheme, it just so happened that the
yeah.
Joker was way smarter, and he knew that he was going to get caught. And this one, the scheme of the Riddler, and how it relates to so many different characters in Batman is incredible. That's just, it's just great storytelling. But, you know, it's just, it wasn't as epic, you know, like when, you know, in The Dark Knight, when they're transporting Harvey Dent into mm-hmm. county, and the Joker, you know,
yeah,
tries
movie.
To foil their plans, and it just says, instead of laughter,
yeah.
it says slaughter. And he's like, hey, they're going to need a lot more than that. And I was like, is that a bazooka?
Yeah, the Dark yeah. Knight definitely feels huge.
Yeah,
to me.
Just,
like,
it just... And but just I also
scope of the movie
yeah.
feels huge.
But
yeah.
I say that
like
in preference, like
Nolan
the
film.
Second and mm-hmm. third movie, will probably, you know, probably just what's you know, kind of curb those
right,
those almost sort of, you know, complaints I have.
Yeah.
I feel like once I get the whole trilogy, like you feel the whole trilogy of Christopher Nolan. Is complete, kind of tied up in a nice bow.
For sure.
You know, yeah. you know, so it's just like this. I can't really compare it to it yet, and it might just exceed it because it is a really good start. Just like the Batman Begins was a very good start to all those movies, man.
Yeah.
I think everybody kind of 2006, man. And you know, this was right after, well, not right after, this was 8 years after Batman and Robin. Like, who, like, the franchise was in, was not in good standing.
Yeah.
So for him to do that to, you know, the Batman, it's, you know, he paved the road for this movie as well.
Yep. It's new. It's a fresh, innovative, stylistic take on it that just suits modern times, in my opinion, you know. Mm-hmm. And a weird way that it's a throwback to old 40s film noir. And
yeah, I like the narration.
Definitely.
It started off, it was like...
Halloween, October 31st, right off the bat.
Yeah.
And then it shows, like, the freaks of Gotham, like, wearing all their homemade masks and stuff.
Oh,
the second
man.
That... Allie told me after the movie, she was like, I knew the second he said it was Halloween and they were all dressed like that, she was like, I knew you loved the movie.
Yep.
Because I've always told her how much I love Halloween within a film, you know?
Yeah.
That just sort of set a little bit of a precedent for me.
Man, it was so cool, too, at the beginning. Like, we're spoiler-free right now, but, like... Like the guys that see the bat signal and how they just react to it. Oh,
yeah,
like they don't know if Batman's there, and then he ends up just showing up. How did you feel about Robert Pattinson's Batman? How he portrayed him? How do you feel? It's totally different. The Christian Bale. Christian Bale was a brute. He kicked the shit out of you. He also had all these huge gadgets to fuck with you.
Yeah,
but with Pattinson,
is, look at it like this is however many years prior, he doesn't have all this technology yet.
Yeah.
He's got some technology, you know, but
yeah, nothing that really puts him ahead of just a lot of people. Like in the beginning of the film, you know, slight spoiler, he gets his fucking dick kicked in a little bit, you know, we're fighting five thugs.
Yeah.
You know, and I like that. I like the fact that he's just like, it wasn't clean, it wasn't...
Yeah.
Wasn't the way... He wasn't winning against 1 versus 5,
right.
Especially in that suit that he had. It was huge.
Yeah.
So I really liked that. But what I particularly liked about Robert Pattinson's Batman, I like it better than Christian Bale's, his presence. And I think I'm going to steal his little compliment, a Clint Eastwood type, like his mannerisms. He'd stare at you. He would just look at this. He would just be like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The whole time he was intimidating by his presence rather than beating the shit out of you, and with his brain, of course, you know.
So I would say he was super stoic, whether he was Bruce Wayne or Batman. You know, as Bruce Wayne, he was a man of very few words. He didn't play as much the playboy billionaire philanthropist that we've seen in a lot of other Bruce Wayne roles. He was just kind of like the quiet, stoic, super. I don't know, just repressive type. Like, he was more of a quiet version of Bruce Wayne, you know what I mean? Living in the shadows, you know, he was just, maybe he hadn't become his full self yet. I don't know what it is. But, I liked that aspect of it. I still think him as Bruce Wayne, it's not my favorite, I'll be honest with you, because I think I want that. I think I want that douchebag Bruce Wayne, you know, because that's part of how he hides his identity as Batman.
Yeah.
You know, he's so much different than what he represents as Batman. He comes out and he's just like, he's a douche. He shows up with four girls on a helicopter pad. Like, you know, he treats people like garbage. It's all an act. Like everything he does is philanthropy. It's all a humanitarian effort. He's trying to protect people. But as far as him as Batman in the suit, I thought it was awesome. I thought it worked perfectly.
Luckily.
I didn't think he needed to be anything more than what he was. It was, dude, every time he punched somebody, I felt it. I felt like I got punched in the face. Dude, there's something about however they choreographed it. Robert Pattinson's punches, man, they just feel so brutal.
Yeah, that is.
I like him in the suit. Outside of the suit, I don't think it's anything to write home about him as Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting that he went so stoic with it and he wasn't super charismatic in any way, really.
Yeah, nobody really saw him. It's like it was an event when you even see him.
Yeah, he was just like
he seems like he was a recluse almost.
Very reclusive, yeah.
But how did you feel? This is another going into a slight complaint of mine. Alfred's portrayal and that relationship between Batman and Alfred. Apparently, Alfred, you know.
Andy Serkis,
who was played Caesar in Matt Reeves' Planet of the Apes.
And Smeagol,
of course. Precious. And I really liked him, but he wasn't in it all that much, and I didn't really get that. I couldn't really connect with him.
Yeah.
I couldn't connect to their relationship, as in other movies.
He didn't have that old school fatherly Alfred vibe.
Yeah.
Or
so.
Grandfatherly, I would almost say, you know, because he's always like so much wiser Even though and I think older he's just, like, than yeah. Bruce Wayne. Like,
yeah.
You know, but almost felt like a more of a brotherhood or something like that than him being like the older, the role model, you know, the guy that's there to provide words of wisdom and like keep him. You know, in tune, like,
yeah.
Keep him from going off the rails has always been Alfred, you know.
Right.
He's the source of guidance, and, I didn't really get that from it, you know. It was a very different Alfred than what I'm used to.
Yeah, maybe I'll just have to see it again and kind of get used to it. Like, that was the big thing about this Batman, because for the past 5 years we've had Ben Affleck, right? And now we're just thrown in to just accept that this is Batman. Like, it was no Thomas Martha, you know, getting shot kind of thing. there was no lead up into thinking, like, why, you know, the whole cliche.
I'm so glad they skipped all that shit. Like,
yeah, he immediately
so
was like,
times.
We're 2 years in. I'm just like,
thank you.
But subconsciously, I wanted to kind of, you know, It immediately starts with him just being Batman and beating the shit out of people, and it's just like, I'm just supposed to accept this? I don't know. It was a slight adjustment, a slight shell shock at first, and then once I got over that, I was all about it. So, I have a dog, by the way.
Special feature,
and
she
loves to bark. Yeah, that's her favorite thing to do besides eating and shitting. But when I'm actually going to change subjects almost, because when Robert Pattinson meets, or the Batman meets Penguin, that's when we get introduced to, like, the
Oswald Cobblepot.
Yeah, just like, there's almost like, when you see him in the rain, you could almost like see his little, like, I don't know if you ever noticed, like, that little tint of, like, his extra nose, like, that supposed to portray during the comics and what have you.
Dude, how gnarly was he?
Dude, I couldn't tell. I couldn't fucking tell.
If you
take
know,
it easy, sweetheart. Take it easy.
Allie didn't know. If you didn't know that Colin Farrell was playing Penguin in this movie, there's no possible way you could know, man.
Right.
That was a full transformation. Obviously, makeup and special effects had a lot to do with it, but the only way genuinely that you can tell that it's Colin Farrell is if just knowing Colin Farrell's eyes. He just has specific, the way his eyes look, if you've seen a lot of movies with him, you see it in his eyes, but that's it.
He crushed it too.
He's a different human being, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely crushed
it. Holy crap, man. That's exactly what I wanted. Just a real world Penguin.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to see Danny DeVito. I didn't want to see, and normally I do,
eat,
you know,
fish in the sewer.
We'll end up getting into that. Like, I love the campiness and stuff, but like, I just want to see just a gnarly real world gangster-esque Penguin.
Yeah, thank God.
How did you like that car chase?
That car chase was awesome. It doesn't match anything in Dark Knight, like what you're saying earlier with the bazooka and like whatever. It's
talk it to me when you see it in IMAX, though.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I'm not gonna lie. It was like it rivaled it quite significantly.
I was like, good, yeah, man. This is it right here.
It was really good. They're driving on the opposite side of the highway, and like, dude, it got pretty crazy. There was only one part of it that was a little too outlandish for me.
I know exactly what part
you're
talking about.
You know how I hate super over the top action sequences. That's what I try to avoid. And it did not feel like that, except for just
that one part. I know exactly
where the universe lined up and one thing happened and we're flying through the air and you just whatever.
I knew that was gonna. I even told you, I was like, there is a spot in the scene where you're just like. It's comic book. This is where this comes.
Where I was like, all right, this was a realistic car chase in every way until now, but I still didn't ruin it.
But I love how the end too, like how it ended when he, like, you know, when
for
he got
sure.
out and like,
yeah,
when he just, it just he just turns over. That's what I think. Like, it wasn't funny in any ways. There was no humor much, but in mannerisms, that's like,
yeah, it has so much character,
like,
to it.
Yeah,
like, you know, we'll get into a little spoilers in a little bit, but there's a little funny, like, gestures that the Riddler does to provoke, like, Commissioner Gordon and Batman. They were like, oh my gosh, it's like we were laughing pretty hard at that. But no, his Batmobile was That was one of the highlights. I was just like, I could feel it in my fucking chest.
It was really kept in shadow a lot, you know. Like I haven't looked up pictures of it. Like I haven't seen it in broad daylight. Like I don't like I don't know exactly what I'm looking at.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It looked badass though.
Yeah, sure. And he was just dude. He was using that thing. I was like, oh my gosh.
I'm glad they changed it up.
No, yeah. I'm glad they're all kind of changed.
It's
you know?
Not the campy old school McDonald's drive-through toy Batman Batmobile. Then it's also not the tank from The Dark Knight that also has like becomes a motorcycle and like you know what? It's like it's a totally different. Thing. It's its own.
It's its own thing.
It's a muscle car with a fucking jet engine in it, basically. It's awesome.
You're like, wow, it was amazing.
Something you see out of Mad Max or something.
Yeah. Dad.
Lovely day. What so lovely, lovely day.
Overall, we all feel good about all the casting choices.
Zoe Kravitz, that girl Foxy, man.
Oh my God, man.
Those legs.
She was so great in it. Like, yeah. I can't even imagine another Catwoman unless they bring Michelle Pfeiffer back.
Pfeiffer?
Like, Michelle like, Pfeiffer? I can't imagine another Catwoman at this point. Her as Selina Kyle. And just the fact that they tapped into like the taboo romance between Bruce Wayne and Selina Kyle. I love that. That hooks me. I love that.
I loved her outfit, too. You know? It was just like, it wasn't sleek. It was just a fucking ski mask.
Simple. Yeah, it was a ski mask. She didn't even have a leather mask or anything like that. Yeah. She was absolutely fantastic in it. Who else we got? How about the Riddler?
Paul Dano. He sounded like Corey Taylor from Slipknot.
Yeah.
Your blind eye.
Yeah.
This is called Saint Social. That's how I fucking felt about it. I was like, is he going to start singing some Stone Sour in a second? Like, I love that about it because it was his character as the Riddler with this mask on. But you take that mask off, which he eventually does. Sorry, spoilers, blah, whatever. But you mostly see his face. He's kind of wimpy, you know, almost like
he's just like a nerdy, like, incel. Kind
he
of
looks
guy.
Like Paul Dano.
That's what I wanted. I mean, you know, wasn't Jim Carrey kind of wimpy in Batman Forever? Like, he's a mind, he's not a brute, you know. He's a super, super sophisticated, intelligent, hyper intelligent serial killer.
Yeah,
so they brought him into the real world. Last time we saw the Riddler on screen, wasn't that Jim Carrey?
Yep, that was it.
There was
Batman
nothing
Forever.
Else, unless there was some animated whatever here and there. I don't know. I'm out of touch with any of that stuff. But Jim Carrey was as campy and over the top as it gets. You know, he did have his dark elements to him, but they played this like almost like he's the Zodiac, like you mentioned before, Shane. Like, reminds me of that, you know. Very real world, scary, terrifying serial killer that has a lot of influence. Due to online, social media, all that kind of stuff, he's creating his own sort of entourage within the film that are all kind of have this. They all have the same idea. They you know, they're anarchists. They're all about chaos. They want to go out and stir up trouble and murder people.
that's a
scary concept. Somebody that's that intelligent, that's always a step ahead of the game.
And I like how he wasn't like he could have very quickly turned into a joke. Like Jim Carrey, but like he was serious the entire time, and he just was a great character, and he was always kind of a step ahead of the game, without getting too far into spoilers. Like he was always kind of
campy.
Just...
thing was him like sending like to the Batman, like his riddles, his physical riddles. Oh, it's like, all right, Jim Carrey did that in Batman Forever.
And that was the only person who actually called him the Batman.
Yeah,
everybody else called him Vengeance. That was his motif. That was his, you know, taking vengeance on something.
One of my complaints.
That was a big, you know, story arc for the Batman.
I liked it at first, but I feel like they said it too often. They beat it in.
Yeah. Come on, Vengeance, you coming?
Vengeance, don't start addressing him as Vengeance like regularly in the film. Something about that became a little hokey for me. Yeah. Like like it felt stilted.
Yeah,
it was too
Cat
Bat Boy.
Yeah.
Bat Boy, she called him. I was like, damn. I felt that one. I was just like,
yeah,
you know. I don't want to be kind of superficial. I'm glad that Catwoman didn't like immediately beat the shit out of fucking Batman. There's a slight little fight scene in the beginning, and you're just like, you know, it's something. I was like, you know, Catwoman can beat the shit out of fucking Batman.
Yeah,
you know, like full. I was just glad that, you know, like there was, you know, there was some realism in that. I was just like, Catwoman can't beat Batman. Like it just hasn't been, you know. Done.
Yeah, they did a good job of showing that she was strong and, you know.
Yeah, she was strong-willed. She was,
but yeah.
I thought they kind of made her a little more sadistic.
Yeah, me too.
She could have been. She's technically considered a villain in the universe.
I wanted her to pull the trigger a couple times. Too.
Yeah,
I was like,
literally
like,
pull the trigger.
Yeah,
a couple times.
I think they would have. It probably would have went over a little better.
It was too much like a regular on screen romance with Batman and Catwoman. There needs to be more opposition in their ideals.
Yeah.
You know, there was, of course, but like, I mean,
but in the comics and like in the old shows and stuff, like they fight, they're on the opposite end of stuff a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So.
Catwoman, you know, Selina Kyle, she would kill somebody without blinking an eye in certain scenarios. Batman never will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they held up with that.
I mean, he'll beat him to a pulp, but
I mean,
fucking
I'm sure
kill
some
him.
Of
dude,
those people die.
You're like, I was actually shocked when there was a scene where they were both in there and it was like, don't use guns. I was like, you just fucking gave this guy a fucking brain bleed.
Yeah.
Like
he could have shot him in the kneecaps.
There was definitely a time where he pounded somebody's face in so many times it was like, there's no way that human being is alive anymore. Just because you didn't use a gun doesn't mean you're not killing people.
And I can't imagine, is this like, bare hands over there? It's probably some fucking plastic
know,
or metal
right?
or something.
Yeah. Dude, I was talking to a buddy of mine, and he's just like, I wonder what the fucking home insurance has to be to live in fucking Gotham City. It's like, just filing for any sort of claim. Like, again? Like, what the fuck are they doing over there?
Yeah, you gotta have some sort of burglary insurance or something.
I'd be scared to walk down the street, man. it's such a scary place.
How isn't everyone armed in Gotham?
I was like, everybody should have a gun in Gotham City.
This is my favorite Gotham City I've seen in a long time in film. My favorite's always going to be probably the Tim Burton. Mm-hmm. But this is, you could, compare this to the Tim Burton versions because they filmed a lot of it in the UK. In England, in Scotland.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You know, they filmed some of it in Chicago, which kind of like counteracts my argument that I'm not super crazy about the modern Chicago Gotham look that Chris Nolan uses.
Well, he actually used Chicago. He didn't. You didn't disguise Chicago as Gotham.
Yeah, but Tim Burton's early, Gotham's modeled after like old New York City. You know. But that doesn't exist anymore. Like, New York City's so modernized now. Like, there's only certain sections of New York City you could use as film locations. So we go to a place like England that kind of looks the same as that would look. Tim Burton did it, and then now they did it with this film. Now Matt Reeves did it. They filmed in Liverpool, Scotland, whatever. So
you could just see production value everywhere. It didn't look like it was shot on green screen, which
was
another good thing.
Not just that, but I mean, The Dark Knight... More of the sequences are probably in daylight than darkness, I think. And like,
this is a good
when I think Batman, I think like it's fucking infinite darkness. It's 24 hours of darkness in Gotham. Like, I want that look.
What do you think of Wayne Manor?
Wayne Manor looked awesome.
Yeah,
dude.
I thought so too.
It looks so good.
This place is so sick.
The second I saw him come downstairs, and I was looking around at how gothic like all the architecture looked and stuff, and how dark the paneling was,
and his parents' room.
Yeah,
that was all like.
I was like, "This is exactly what Wayne Manor should look like." Yep. That was a studio set that they built.
It looked good, man.
Yeah.
Well, before we're about to get into some spoilers soon, because we probably, I will say one more complaint, before I actually give this thing an official, like what I thought about it. Did you guys think that the second act was kind of just like, hey man, let's wrap this shit up?
No, I thought that was the best act.
Really? It was when you kind of saw what the Riddler was trying to unravel, and it just wasn't hitting for me. I was just like, this is kind of what we're unfolding here. I was like, where does this go else? Because I kind of felt the time. At that point, I was just like, I'm feeling this 3-hour time limit now.
I don't remember my like attention waning at any point in time, or like my enthusiasm decreasing.
I was wrapped up in the lore, of course, but that wasn't distracting me. Of like, what's really going on? Like, we all were in kind of like a fly on the wall of Batman shoes because the Riddler was 3 steps ahead, regardless of what was happening.
Yeah.
And you know, you're just trying to kind of pick up the pace and trying to really. They had to go with it. I like that they did that. It was like, hey, we're in Riddler's game now. Like he acknowledged the fact that that was it.
A lot of that might be like, I mean, no offense or anything. Like, you and I obviously at times have different tastes with films like this. Like, I wouldn't call you an action junkie, but you love action sequences, all that shit.
Yeah.
I love the detective work. You know, like I love the behind the scenes stuff. Like. Selina Kyle putting contact lenses in her eyes and having to go in an underground club and, you know,
yeah,
personally interrogate like really like big public officials and stuff to figure out how they can get to the Riddler. Like, so I loved all the detective work, like him just trying to figure out what's going on behind the scenes versus him beating the shit out of people. And it just ends up creating a little bit more, a little bit more of a slower pace. I will say, I think the movie probably could have been cut down a little bit. I don't think it needed to be 3 hours necessarily.
For me, it was the first act and a little bit of the third act. Like, there was a couple scenes for me that felt like it just got a little bit full of itself towards the end.
Yeah.
But, a little indulgent.
Like, but like towards the end of the first act, it felt like it started to drag, and then they had the whole thing with like where it didn't drag towards the second act, where a bunch of action sequences happened and the race was in, or the car chase was in that section. And
yeah.
Yeah, but the third act for me, a little bit. The first act, a little bit. But all in all, I wasn't.
Did you guys kind of get that Lord of the Rings? Like, is this ending now? No, it's not. The 25 endings.
Yeah,
I felt like. There was a lot of just like, oh, geez.
There was a couple parts where I was like, they could have just.
You should have kinked it right there.
I didn't want it to, but I was like, they could have ended it right there. A lot of movies would have. An hour and a half so they can get the money.
So, All right, final verdict. What is your official score? We'll call it out of 100, just to kind of, you know, give yourself a little margin of error. 0 to 100, 0 being fucking Batman and Robin, and 100 being maybe this movie. What would you say?
90. Yep.
Okay. Nice. Well, Shane, what about you?
It was 92 for me.
I remember you saying 98.
I did not say 98.
You said 98.
I didn't, because I said The Dark Knight was better.
Well, that's 100 now, ain't it?
No, but never. We're 100.
You always save your 100.
Yeah.
Your favorite movie of all time is not 100.
Yeah.
Because it hasn't been made yet.
No,
right?
I think
ideally.
It was. I think my
The Good, the Bad,
and
the Other was made 60 years ago. So. Okay.
That's my 99.9.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Not even 100. Oh, because you don't know. I guess. Whatever. I would give it a 90. Yeah. I'd probably wrap it in that.
That's a fair grade.
It's solid.
I hear that from somebody whose opinion I trust, and I'm like, mm-hmm. holy shit, this is a good fucking movie.
Yeah. So speaking of that, before we start getting into spoilers soon, if you haven't seen it, we're gonna start getting into spoilers in a matter of like 3 to 5 minutes. How would you rank your top? If you had a top five, I don't know if you guys had one. I have a top five. Mm-hmm. And I'll share mine first of my favorite Batman movies. Obviously, still number one is The Dark Knight. I absolutely love that movie. And the experience that I have and still have 14 years later, mm-hmm. it's still unmatched. I will say Batman Begins as my 2A and The Batman as being 2B. You know, I can't really, you know... They're neck and neck. I can't decide mm-hmm. because it rejuvenated the franchise so much for film that I was just like, you can't.
But how different is 2A and 2B from 2 and 3?
No, it's just like they're neck and neck because this is the same like kind of revitalization. It's not because I put it. I could literally put The Batman as 2A and Batman Begins as 2B. Right. Like, it's literally their par. They're on the same plane. Because they reimagined the genre and reimagined the character, and they did a perfect job. I thought it was a perfect job by, you know, and they're two completely different movies. Like, Batman Begins, Batman is a completely different Batman than Christian Bale, and so that reason there says they can't compare. But as a movie, as well, you know, I had to take that into account. And that's why The Dark Knight actually supersedes the other one, because it was the scheme by the Joker was better. I asked you about that, Shane. It's like, who had the better scheme, fucking Joker or the Riddler? Yeah. And I was just like, the Joker was ahead of the curve the entire movie.
As was the Riddler, but
the Riddler plan comes to fruition. Right. And so, you know, then we'll talk about what happens. After that,
the Joker had more fun with it.
Man. Yeah, the Joker.
He's more interesting.
I want to drive. You know, like it. It he had way more fun with it. Even though, like, there were scenes with the Riddler and Batman, they were like, wow, he had a really good time with this.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, I would say my, I guess that's technically three, whatever, but my third would be The Dark Knight Rises, because I still absolutely love that movie. And then number four. No, I'm sorry. It's the original Batman. Number three is the 1989 Batman, Michael Keaton. And then number five is Batman Forever, only because it's so entertaining. And yeah. I grew up. That was a childhood movie for me.
Yeah. Same. So, same.
I was just like, I love the Riddler and that for Jim Carrey Two-Face. It was just super entertaining. You know, Schumacher was, you know. He knew what he was getting into, so I was just
He's following up Tim Burton, making Batman Returns, you know, after Tim Burton literally got kicked off the project for being too dark in his Batman movies. I think it would have been better if it were Tim Burton, but at least he still stood on as producer. And
yeah, for that exactly.
So, still maintained that sort of the same vibe at times, you know.
Yeah, so, well, what about you, Drew? Where would you rank? Where would you rank the Batman in compares to?
Definitely in top five. It belongs in anybody's top five. Crazy not to. But my number one's Batman Returns. That was one of my biggest childhood movies. I have the original one sheet poster, Sega game. Like, that was, it helped develop my early interest in film when I was a kid. That, along with many other Tim Burton films, especially Beetlejuice and whatever. But that'll always be my favorite. I think it's the perfect blend of the campiness that I think belongs in Batman for the villains. I don't think they should be too real world. I think that a little bit of campiness goes a long way. And also just brutal darkness at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, some of the concepts in that film are just so horrific, you know? And that's why Tim Burton got kicked off the film. Now, that'll always be my favorite Batman, I would think. Anyway, going down the line from there, I think my number two is Batman Forever.
Really?
Even over The Dark Knight.
Mm.
Yeah, I love Batman Forever so much. It was also such a big part of my childhood. I was the Riddler for Halloween one year. It still maintains the campiness, but goes too far with the campiness for me.
I love Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey as the Riddler is great. I love him, but I specifically love Tommy Lee Jones as Two-Face. I like the way, it doesn't make any sense that he looks that way. Like, within the film, what disfigures his face in it is, like, coffee got spilled in his face in the court scene or something. Like, something stupid happened. It's like, it doesn't make any sense, but
his cadence was so, it's like, you know, when the Riddler was like, show me how to punch a guy. It was like, ball up your fist, hold on back, and assert yourself. And right. Then, you know, just that they hated each other apparently. Tommy Lee Jones fucking hated Jim Carrey.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he hated him. He's just like,
they're such different people, I feel. Yeah.
Like. Dude, it was. There's a bunch of interviews saying he's like, you need to shut the fuck up. That's what he told him.
He probably was super fucking annoying, though. Like, just
I'm
on
sure
set,
he's super annoying
day after
now.
Day after day. Like, I can see it. And with Tommy Lee Jones, he's serious all the time.
Jim Carrey never left character from, Man on the Moon?
Oh, Man on the Moon. Yeah, dude. People hated his guts playing Andy Kaufman. I've seen behind-the-scenes footage and stuff. I watched that documentary. He was fucked up, man. He would fake being drunk. People would literally have to, like, carry him away because he was fake, completely unconscious from being too drunk and, like, crazy stuff like that, man. He's a very, very outlandish guy, you know.
Yeah, and then he found spirit stuff, too, and then that was a whole nother thing in himself.
But I'm a nostalgic guy. You know, that's how I am. That's a huge factor for me. I don't know if that's necessarily fair. You could probably call that unfair sometimes in my rating system. But Forever comes second. Mm-hmm. Then The Dark Knight ahead of the new Batman. The new Batman, I'm going to call that number four.
Yeah.
I'm going to call number five Batman 1989. As much as I love Tim Burton.
Dude, I'm surprised that it's not higher up. I'm really...
I'm going to call that my number five, I think.
You want to get nuts? Come on! Let's get nuts.
Yeah. I would put the new Batman at my number four, and I'm not the biggest Batman enthusiast in the world, but it's my favorite thing when it comes to any superhero universe. Marvel, DC, anything whatsoever.
That's your favorite comic book character.
That's always has been. That was my a big thing for me when I was young, and I'm putting this at my top four. So I think that's a pretty big deal, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, especially that's, over a lot of nostalgia. Great. Like, yeah. It's up there with, like, this might, you know, depending on how much you love the movie over time, you know.
I was gonna say, that
could move up. It could move up, it could move down, you know.
Yeah.
You never know.
Right now, it's definitely at my top four. It's one, I watched it last night. I would go home and watch a game right now. I would watch it again if I could.
Yeah, sure. I would.
Even
too.
Though it's 3 hours long, I don't care. I'll watch it.
It's only 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, you watched it at midnight last time.
Yeah.
Shane, what about you?
Man, it's got to be The Dark Knight for me. Number one.
Numero.
This Makes one, sense. Number two. Batman Begins, number three, and then The Dark Knight Rises, number four, and then.
Which one's your number five? Come on, it's got which one? Tell me it's George Clooney and Batman.
I was gonna say Batman and Robin, baby.
Boom! Never leave the cave without
Is it. Yes, I loved Batman and Robin because I saw it when I was a kid, man. Like it just
what killed the dinosaurs?
I loved Arnie. My dad raised me on Arnie, and like I saw Arnold Schwarzenegger in that movie, and I was like, oh, this is gonna be my favorite movie of all time.
I love the entertainment value of all the Batmans.
Yeah.
You know, it sucks that Ben Affleck isn't in any of them because, you know, I actually love Batman vs. Superman.
I thought he did great.
It would be six. Like, Batman vs. Superman would be six. You know, over.
I love
the director's cut of Batman vs. Superman. I loved it.
For me, it's the CGI.
Excuse me.
For me, like
yeah, there's it's heavy.
Yeah,
it's heavy.
We can beat Zack Snyder to death for his CGI.
I know. We always have this debacle.
Yeah, for me, it just looks so.
So, but are you guys ready to get into spoilers?
Spoilers?
Yeah, we're gonna talk spoilers in a moment. I have to fucking piss, so we're gonna be back in about 3 to 5 minutes, and we're gonna talk some spoilers. All right, we'll take a little break.